Hello and welcome to the Raptors Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Lin Lu. I am joined by my producer and co-host, Alex Wong. Alex, are we going to attempt to do small talk as we always do on Monday mornings?
Of course, man. What's going on, my Asian brother? Lunar New Year is coming up soon. I just Googled it. It's February 1st. Mm-hmm. So somehow Lunar New Year is going to happen before our Secret Santa, which is just the way that I planned it. Asian Heritage Month coming up soon. Do you know when Asian Heritage Month is, by the way?
On this show, it's every month, actually. 12 times.
Yeah, even after year. Utah Watanabe's performances this weekend?
Let's not talk about that. Come on, the Raptors defeat the reigning champions over the weekend, and you want to talk about Utah? Come on. Let's give Utah some time.
Yeah, he's probably shoveling snow outside with Doug Ford today. No, actually, he's chilling in Miami. Probably just ran into Goran Dragic at the beach. As everyone knows by now, the Raptors are taking on the Heat tonight, but Kyle Lowry is out for personal reasons. Obviously, hope everything is okay. You never know what personal reasons. Might be something good happening in the family. It might be not, so better to just not speculate. But, you know, no Kyle game tonight. He won't be drawing charges on Svi, Precious, and Chris. So instead, we're going to get a 87-81 game that is completely unwatchable. So I'm looking forward to that. But let's talk about first, Will. Instead of talking about the Raptors weekend first, how was your weekend, William?
My weekend was good. I went to see my folks in Etobicoke, you know. And I don't know. I spent a lot of time covering the Raptors. What else happened? Friday was unpleasant. I'm not going to lie to you. Friday... To watch that game against Detroit was torturous. And then waking up this morning to like 50 centimeters of snow has been kind of fun too. So, not a lot actually on the weekend. I'm not going to lie to you. But, you know, what about you, Alex? What did you do on the weekend? We don't have to do small talk, you know. We have lots of topics. But.
No, we have to. I was sampling a bunch of food delivery services because we're free agents now.
Oh.
And that was about it. That was about it. Yeah. So snowstorm Monday. Let's get to this weekend. So the Raptors, just like Gary Trent Jr.'s reversible Gucci cardigan, showed two sides this weekend. Yeah. Sorry, man. Spent a lot of hours writing that one yesterday. So they played one of the worst games of the season in Detroit, 103-87 loss against Dwayne Casey's Detroit Pistons. Actually, scratch that. Against Trey Lyles and the Detroit Pistons. Oh. Let's start with that one first, because I know you were steaming. I could see the steam coming out of your ears from your place, from my condo on the React Pod on Friday. Yo, it's been like, what, 3 years, 4 years now, and we still got this Dwayne Casey revenge narrative going. He's now 8-3 against the Raptors. They've won 5 in a row against Toronto dating back to last year. Like, can we just please stop this at some point? I don't want this to be a storyline anymore.
Yeah, it's tremendously unpleasant, especially because afterwards, Dwayne Casey only says nice things about his former players. Like, he said so many nice things about Fred. He said so many nice things about Pascal, you know, OG as well. Like, he's such a nice dude as well. But, it seems like his teams always get up for that game in particular. And I think also part of it is just, like, how many times in a row did Raptor fans storm Detroit? And then the building was, like, 50% Raptor fans, maybe even more. And then they would get, you know, pummeled. I mean, the weird thing is, okay, so in the recent years, obviously Detroit has been rebuilding, so they've sort of shuffled out a lot of their long-term guys. Like, who do you think is the longest-serving player on the Pistons at the current moment? It might be, like, I don't even know, Diallo, right? So it can't be more than, like, 2-3 years maybe. So, I don't even know specifically if that is a specific factor, but those games are always hard to watch. Obviously, the Raptors losing is hard to watch in any context, but especially losing against a team that only had 10 wins, after beating the Raptors twice. What else was unpleasant about that game? So, I mean, just the stats that came out was just wild. Like, the Pistons, through playing 41 games in the season, never had a 20-point lead at any point. And they got their first 20-point lead of the season against the Raptors. Like,
no, that was unpleasant. That one sent me over the edge, man. When I saw that stat, I was just like, first of all, that game was like unwatchable too. Like, it was like some of the worst basketball that I have ever seen. And I when I saw that stat, that was the first time the Pistons led by 20 all season. I just can't believe it. Like, we need to just, please, Raptors, they got one more game against the Pistons this season. Please, Nick Nurse, channel your energy. You know, stop selling hats on the website. I don't know what it takes, okay? We talk about players getting distracted by off-court stuff. I need Nick to channel all his energy to getting that win against the Pistons.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, though, because the Pistons channel all the energy to playing the Raptors, and a lot of these games are really hard-fought as well. So you mentioned the fact that the Pistons are 8-3 since Dwayne joined them after he got let go after winning Coach of the Year. Not only are they 8-3, but the Raptors have suffered 4 injuries against that team now in the last, like, 2 years or so, calendar years. When you think about, you know, that game where Pascal, he went down with an injury after playing the Pistons. Norman Powell went down with an injury after playing the Pistons. Marc Gasol went down. And now most recently, Ken Burch had his nose broken in like the first 4 minutes of the game. So there's many reasons not to like those games. And yeah, thankfully the Raptors, you know, came back with an incredible effort against Milwaukee to make us forget about that game altogether. Because as bad as that Pistons game was, the following night, the Raptors were even better in terms of just like the effort they brought, the professionalism they brought, the kind of guts they showed, and they followed up their worst loss of the season with their best win of the season, which is kind of where the Raptors are right now. That's why they're about a 500 team.
Yeah, they are Gary Trent Jr.'s two sides to the cardigan. So, like you mentioned, the Raptors had their worst game of the season. Then they go into Milwaukee. So no Kem, because Kem had to fly back to Toronto to have surgery on his broken nose. Scotty was out. Gary obviously was out. And they were down 16-2 early in Milwaukee, and it looked like it was going to be a blowout. I was actually kind of excited because I was waiting to watch my Buffalo Bills play at 8:15 p.m. on Saturday. But
name three of their players.
Anyways, shout outs to Stephon Diggs. So then Bobby Portis, after Pascal got an and-one, decided to give a little gentle headbutt to Pascal's face. And honestly, I personally feel like that's what sparked the Raptors to the victory.
I mean, I think, you know, Fred talked about it after the game too. He was asked about that specific instance where, by the way, Bobby bumped Pascal the play before that as well. When he scored the and-one, then when Pascal scored the and-one on him, then he headbutts him. I mean, you know, he was doing a lot, let's be real. That's kind of his job, though. He's there to kind of stir the pot a little bit and just, you know, play off the crowd. Obviously, the Bucks fans love Bobby. They love chanting Bobby. I mean, Fred talked about after the game. It was like, okay, after that happens, it's like, how do you respond? Are you just going to, like, let him punk you like that? Because, like, let's be real. You're getting punked by Bobby Portis. He's a good player, but, like, you know, by no means a star or whatever. And that's happening to your star player. So how do you respond? And the Raptors responded perfectly. Like, their defense was tremendous in that game. Milwaukee only had 26 made field goals. You know, after the game, you have, you know, Mike Boonholzer crying about them shooting 35 free throws, which is 15 more than the Raptors, and at least 4 of those were intentional fouls by the Bucks at the end of the game, because the Raptors are winning. They want to extend the game. So that's actually an inflated total. The Raptors had actually only had 16 in the actual regular flow of play before they started intentionally hacking. So it was just a satisfying win all around. And the way the Raptors, you know, I mean, they just handled their business, really. Obviously, it was a really gutsy performance. They only went with 6 guys in the second half. Nick Nurse going to a playoff-level rotation there. And then as for Bobby, do you remember any other Bobby Portis plays after that? Because he had a great start to the game. He was deflecting passes. You know, he was headbutting people, scoring and-ones, shooting some jumpers, looking good. Second half, I didn't see anything from Bobby. You know?
No, it was 96-74 for the Raptors after that headbutt. And you're right, Nick shortened that rotation. Our guy Utah had a 5-minute run to start the game.
Why do we got to do this? No.
I'm just reading stats like I do every Monday, man. What do you want me to do? Skip Utah Watanabe?
I would love that, actually, yeah.
Okay, let's just pretend he doesn't exist for the foreseeable future.
That's what Nick's doing right now in the rotation.
Oh, man. Okay, let's move on. Shout-outs to Kashi. Pascal Siakam, the only player on the floor that looked like a 2-time MVP to me on Saturday. 30 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, second career triple-double, hit 3 threes. Man, I mean, I know we were talking last week, can the Raptors send 2 All-Stars? How many All-NBA players do they have? This is the best basketball Pascal's played in his career, Will.
Yeah, I would say it's the most complete effort in terms of what he did on the defensive end, which he spent a lot of time covering both Middleton and Giannis. What he did, obviously, in terms of his own scoring, when he did the scoring, which includes 13 points in the fourth quarter. I know there's a lot of talk all the time about Pascal can't do it in the clutch. Pascal can't do it in the clutch. Obviously, there's been many times where Pascal's come up short in the clutch, but that was not one of those. That was one of the most comprehensive clutch performances we've seen from Pascal, whether that be him knocking down a corner three, whether it's him at the top of the floor in a four-point game, 2 minutes left, knocking down a three to essentially clinch it, him, you know, smartly running ahead of the pack and getting a foul to get to the free throw line to extend the lead, him, you know, the crossover he put on Giannis and then exploding in the lane over $3 and then getting fouled. It was just a tremendous play, especially at that time in the game where he had played 40 minutes, was so exhausted, was on 5 fouls, and he just kept going at the Bucks. And the move where he had, you know, got stuck in the lane, but then pivoted, pump fake to lift the defender and then step through for the long push shot was just beautiful stuff. So you take that, you take the 10 assists that he had as well, and you just look at the course of the game. I mean, the Bucks, like most opponents, like we'll see today against Miami, teams are going to be double teaming Pascal, they're going to be double teaming Fred, and they're going to be trying to force other guys to beat them. And even with that kind of coverage, and don't forget, the primary defender on Pascal Siakam in that game against the Bucks was literally Giannis, a defensive player of the year. So for Pascal to have 30, 10, and 10, to shoot the three efficiently, to get the mid-range going a little bit, but to get to the rim the way he was doing, and then more importantly, to put pressure on the paint, to draw the defense, and then to kick it out to guys. I mean, the passes that he was making to Chris Boucher, the pass that he made to Justice Champagne in the fourth quarter, like, it's just beautiful kind of stuff. So I think what you're seeing from Pascal right now is that even with the added defensive attention, he's still delivering. And that's something where when you look at the maturation of his game, he obviously had a most improved season when he was the third option. And now he's coming along now to the point where he can handle the extra attention the teams are putting on him. This game reminded me a lot of, for example, that game they lost against Philadelphia. First game after, you know, a couple of guys are coming back from COVID protocols and whatever. And Pascal put up like 28, 8-8 or something like that. And, you know, that was against Embiid. And now you're seeing it against Giannis. And even in the game they lost against Phoenix, which they played really well, he had 27-7. So it's like a regular thing now for him to flirt with triple doubles. And when you just consider the overall flow of his game, I think Pascal's better than ever. And it's becoming a real conversation. Should Pascal go to the All-Star game? The only thing against him right now is the fact that he missed some time at the start of the year with the shoulder surgery. But if you look at the depth of forwards in the Eastern Conference, especially if KD is no longer able to go to the game because he has the MCL sprain, I think Pascal's right there.
Yeah, and you talked about last week that he needed to have some moments, right? And I think the clutch moments in Milwaukee helped. The overall performance helped. I mean, he outplayed Giannis, and he led a shorthanded Raptors team to a win on the road against the defending champions. We also got to talk about, too, so this is 5 straight wins now for the Raptors against the Bucks. They haven't lost. So this is like a reverse of the Detroit-Toronto situation. And I just want to point out that they haven't lost since Kyle Lowry crawled between George Hill's legs before the pandemic. Since then, I think there's been a curse put on the Bucks. And Milwaukee just, you know, they don't know how to react. From like Mike Budenholzer's comments, so after the game, he was, like you mentioned, he said, quote, Giannis gets 17 free throws, but I think you could argue he could have had 27 or 30 free throws. I can't even make it through this without laughing. As a team, we had 35. I think you could argue we could have had 45 or 50. And then their social account tweets out the final score graphic with a Drake Instagram caption. You can have your 15 minutes of fame. I'll take the other 23 hours and 45 minutes. Why can't the Bucks just act normal when they lose to the Raptors and just move on? It's just a regular season game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little sad to me because of the fact that they won a championship now. Like, they're literally the defending champions. Like, you gotta move with a little bit of swag. You gotta move with a little bit of pride. You can't just be so bothered by the fact that, yeah, the Raptors came in and sunned you again. Yeah, you know, Nick Nurse outcoached Mike Budenholzer once again. You know, like, okay, yeah, it's must be frustrating. Like, for example, some people are bringing up the comparison of, oh, the Raptors are to the Bucks what the Pistons are to the Raptors. No. The Pistons are garbage. Okay, that's where that analogy dies, because the Pistons are garbage. Not expected to beat anybody, okay? The way the Raptors beat the Bucks, I'm sure it's frustrating for them. Obviously, there's also the history there with 2017 and 2019. But, you know, sometimes you just got to take the L. And as you know, someone who obviously covered the Raptors throughout the Lebronto years, like, what can you really say? You know, you could just post the final score and just say on to the next game. Easy. You don't have to try to, like, inflame these people, because all you're really going to do is just allow people to dunk on you once again. People are going to post the videos. You know, all the memes are ready, set. Like, people don't got to make fresh memes for a Raptors-Bucks win, because they have them already, right? Everyone has, like, 10 of these saved on their phone. So, I don't know what the Bucks social account is doing. But then again, you know, this is, you know, they also made, you know, remember the what's the song called? B-U-C-K-S? That song, you remember?
Oh, they did like bonkers. A rap song? They did a rap song during the conference finals?
Yeah,
man, that's when I should have dropped some bars in response, man. I missed an opportunity there. That was my time to shine. Damn, I missed out on that one. But yeah, I don't know, man. The taking the Drake caption is funny too, because you remember during the conference finals, there was just whole thing about Coach Bud wanting Drake to be arrested because he was distracting Giannis during the games.
No,
which has always been funny.
No, hold on. He wanted Drake ejected from the games because Drake gave Nick Nurse an impromptu shoulder massage for like 2 seconds, because Drake literally sits at the seats like right beside the one closest to the coach. And Nick obviously walks over. Drake comes over and gives him a little quick, you know, like two squeezes basically. And then Michael Nurse is like, well, I don't know, fans should be involved in the game like that. And it's like, all right, man, if you're going to be complaining about this, I guess you would be complaining about 50 free throws. And just think about that. Like, imagine that. You're the reigning champions. You lose. And on top of losing, your coach comes out and says, I wanted 50 free throws to against a shorthanded Raptors team. Like, they didn't have Gary. They didn't have Scottie Barnes. Ken Birch was out, you know. And on the other side, of course, Milwaukee was missing a couple of guys too. Jrue Holiday, obviously, is very important. But, like, still, just you lose at home. You just keep it moving. Just try to focus on the next game. Like Giannis said, you know, of course, Giannis wants more free throws. Every coach wants their player to get more free throws. But, like, 17 is a lot. The Raptors has
Giannis
a team
shot,
20.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Giannis shot 17 free throws. That was just a weird narrative to go to for Coach Bud after the game. Oh, man, I love that we're not going to play the Bucks again until the conference finals this year. We can bask in this sweep of the Milwaukee Bucks. So, like I mentioned, the Bucks social used a Drake IG caption. You can have your 15 minutes of fame. I'll take the other 23 hours and 45 minutes. So I wanted to test you a little bit, Will. I got five statements here, and I want you to say yes or no to whether these are real Drake Instagram captions. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, okay, go ahead. By the way, people know that I don't have Instagram. Anyway, keep on.
Yeah. I run Will's Instagram. Please don't DM him. Unless you're sending us free stuff, then definitely DM and I'll reply right away. First one, I need somebody who asks me questions I haven't asked myself. Is that too much to ask?
How old is Drake? 35?
I don't know, man. Drake's around my age.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to say that's fake.
No, that's real.
What? Oh, come on.
Next one. There's a point in the fake it till you make it theory where you actually got to make it.
That sounds like a Drake bar, but I don't think that's real. I'm going to say that's fake again.
Yep, that's also real. All right.
Oh, my God.
Third one. Oh. It's a short one. I have an emotional budget I can't go over.
How are any of these real? I'm going to keep saying fake. This guy's 35 years old, man. Please.
No, this is real as well. These sound like things I tell you at 2 a.m. in the DMs as well, which I think is why it might be confusing you. Okay, number four. You're currently 0-3. Life can look good in a picture, but we don't live in pictures. Just know that.
Nah, that's fake too. I'm calling fake on all
of these. That's real, man. I love real as well.
I thought you made that up.
I love how you can't accept the fact that these are Drake captions.
Is this what people do on Instagram?
It's what I do. Last one. Okay. You win some, then you lose some, and forget about the ones you won.
You know what? That sounds like something my dad would have told me. So I'm going to say that's real.
Yeah, okay. They were all real. So you got one out of five. I can't believe you just wouldn't buy in that these were things that Drake would say.
No, man. Come on. I need somebody who asks me questions I haven't asked myself. Is that too much to ask?
I don't know, man. These are all fire to me, man. I might turn these into bars.
This guy said ask three times in two sentences.
No, I respect it, man. So before we move on, nope. Oh, that's how we know producer Derek is back, man. Welcome back to our producer, Derek. So before we move on, we have to talk about Gary Trent's reversible Gucci cardigan, mohair cardigan, which he wore without a shirt underneath. What was your reaction when you first saw that during the television broadcast?
Yeah, I had to instantly make sure I screen grabbed it because I knew a lot of people ask, like, hey, how do you build a big Twitter following? Just screen grab the players. Like, that's the easiest way to do it. I was like, look, this outfit is hilarious. I'm going to have to grab this, put it on the timeline. It's going to be an easy 1,000 likes. And yeah, my DMs are my mentions are still populated with people posting the hot and sweaty emoji.
I wasn't asking you how many likes you got. I was asking you to give a fashion critique of the outfit.
I mean, I thought it was a great outfit. What can I say? What I wear personally, no. But
I would love to see it. Yeah. Can we get a Sportsnet shoot of you? Can we get a Sportsnet shoot of you wearing Gary's gear?
No, please. I would actually. You know what? Some of them are pretty. Like, I like the cape that he wore the other day. What was it?
I could see you in there. I've seen you buy a similar cape at H&M in person, so I could definitely see you in that.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah, so the one thing I did notice...
I'm sure his outfit costs $100 too, so yeah.
Yeah, so that cardigan was $3,200, Gucci mohair cardigan, and it's reversible. And a thing I did notice is that in the second half when they panned over, he actually flipped it inside out. He was wearing the other side of the cardigan, which cracked me up because I'm just picturing Nick in the locker room gathering the six guys that are playing. We got Yuta Watanabe. He's like, yo, we don't need you in the huddle. He's like, Justin Champagne, get in here. Chris Boucher, get in here. The other four starters, get in here. Here's how we're going to stop Giannis. Here's how we're going to win the game. And Gary's over there in the corner just taking his cardigan off and just flipping it. Just a legend, man. We need to actually get him on the program to walk through this whole cardigan thing with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get Gary back on the pod. I mean, we talked to him in training camp. He was super friendly, great answers, just a real understated kind of guy. He's actually really soft-spoken for a guy who dresses so loud, but man, I was gonna say, he's easily taken Serge's throne as like the most fashionable guy on the Raptors.
And yeah, imagine if him and Serge were still on the same team, man. Like the fits that they would be getting off, they probably both get suspended. Serge would probably get into a fight with Gary over the outfits.
Yeah, so Serge, I'm not going to wear a three-sided cardigan. I don't even know how that would even work. But no, this is a great outfit. And honestly, the thing is, I miss Gary on the court, though, because I need the actual production that he brings. Like, the scoring, the Raptors have not been able to replicate that at all. Like, I was thinking about the other game in terms of who the Raptors played at the shooting guard position, because obviously Gary's out, modeling the cardigan. Like, I think they've got 0 points. From the shooting guard position. Yeah, Yuta came in 5 minutes, 0 points. Yeah. Svi came in 7 minutes, 0 points.
Okay, you know what's the funniest thing? Nick has literally had to eliminate two positions. So yeah, he's eliminated the backup point guards in Delano Banton and Malachi Flynn. And on Saturday, he eliminated basically the backup shooting guard with Yuta and Svi. It's looking tough right now.
It's very tough. And this is why the front office, if they want to just do anything with this team this year, needs to bring in somebody to come in here and be the third guard for the Raptors. Because, these guys need a break once in a while, you know? Like, I would say Gary and Fred have been mostly healthy, and yet anytime one of them misses games, it's just such a struggle for them, right? Like, I thought, for example, the Phoenix game, if Gary played, they win that game, no problem. You know, I don't know about the Detroit game. Seems like everyone was just not in it. But, like, yeah, I need Gary back in the lineup. I mean, the outfits are cool, but wear the outfits, come into the game, and then drop 20. Yeah, I think that's even cooler. Wow, it's not like such offense a dad.
The offense has really been a slog. Before we go to break, you want to show a little love to Precious Achiuwa and Justin Champagne?
I do, yeah. Well, Justin Champagne, I think, first off, I mean, interview of the century, obviously. But the fact that he came in and grabbed 12 rebounds, including 6 offensive, is just so impressive to me. The Bucks are a team that's really good at defensive rebounding. Like, obviously, they're short a couple of bigs, whatever, but, like, still... That is a team that stays at home defensively, you know, drop defense. Everyone's going to collapse the paint. Everyone get on the glass. That is not a team that you usually come in there and dominate on the defense, on the offensive glass. And when you look at the rest of the team, it's not like the Raptors as a whole, were that thoroughly out rebounding the Bucks, right? Like, Justin Champagne, though, himself grabbing 6 in his 30 minutes was basically the difference maker there between the two sides. And, you know, the only thing for Justin is I wish he was a little bit more composed in how he finished some of these putbacks. I thought he rushed them a little bit, and this could have easily been a game where he had like 8 to 10 points. Instead, he finished with three. It was a big three that he made, which I was really happy about. But a lot of these putbacks, he had a chance to just get it back in there, and he either took an extra dribble and got stripped, or, you know, went up at an odd angle and didn't go up strong enough and stuff like that. Like, I think he'll get better at that, and I think it was a really good game from overall. And then Precious, you just got to give him love, because when you look at the hustle stats in the game overall, so the Bucks only shot like 30% from the field, only made 26 field goals. Part of that is Precious Achiuwa contested 18 shots in that game. And when you think about it, nobody else on the team even contested more than 10 for the Raptors. And not only did Precious contest 7 2-point shots, he contested 11 threes. And that's as a big. So that shows you that he's really able to switch. He's really able to play on the perimeter, right? He was obviously the primary defender on Giannis, blocked him a few times. He had 5 deflections as well. And I know that, look, you know, overall, I think, you know, there's things that he needs to improve on offense. That's very clear. And I think some of that experience, some of that is skill set. But what he's doing on the defensive end right now cannot be overstated. He also won 3 defensive loose balls as well. Like, he just was hustling everywhere on the court. And it felt like he just wasn't even tired. Like, at the end of the game, his energy was exactly the same as it was at the start of the game. So I think this is why the Raptors keep turning to him, even though he'll blow a couple opportunities offensively. Like, it's totally worth it based on what he does defensively. So I just want to give Precious that kind of shout out. I know for a lot of other people watching the games, they get frustrated at the offense. I'm frustrated too sometimes, right? But, you know, you have to appreciate the game as a whole. And what Precious brings overall, he's been very promising. I'm really happy with the way he's doing so far.
Yeah, like you said in 10 Things, quote, the Raptors front office didn't take on $19 million of dead salary with Goran Dragic tanning on South Beach for nothing.
Well, my editors left that in. Sometimes I just write some like wild stuff in there just to see what they'll take in and what it'll take out. I love that they just kept that in there, man. What do you think Goran Dragic is doing at this exact moment?
He is at the Miami Heat practice facility asking Eric Spoelstra if he's looking for a starting point guard to fill in tonight.
You know he's in there being like, hey, coach, this is what I learned from training camp about the Raptors. This is what all their playbooks, like, he's giving them every single detail in the playbook right now.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, don't worry about it. They, unless it's a Fred and Pascal pick and roll, you can just leave all the shooters open. You know, definitely try to funnel the ball towards Precious. If Svi is behind the three-point line, we can go ahead and just back off and go rebound. There's the whole scouting report for the Raptors offense. I am predicting a 87-81 game tonight. You know Miami Raptors games, they're always a slog for some reason.
Yeah, well, both teams are going to zone each other quite a bit as well. Both teams are very active defensively.
I really hate that. Yeah. There's a lot wrong with the world right now. All I want when I sit down to watch Raptors games, besides them winning because it's good for the program, is just have 2.5 hours of entertainment. Like, I just want to be entertained. And, like, I was thoroughly entertained on Saturday against Milwaukee. That Detroit game just made me question if I should just, like, you know, not watch this sport ever again. Like, it was that bad.
I was so mad I didn't even do 10 things. I said, if the team doesn't show up, I'm not going to show up.
So you just get to call your own shots on that? How does that work?
I mean, technically, like, I mean, yes, it is me not doing it. But what was I going to do? Was anyone going to read 10 things from that game about the Raptors? No, there was one thing. The Raptors didn't show up, and that was the result.
That should have been the whole article, man. You should have put that in the CMS. All right, let's take this break.
Yeah, let's take this break. I'm your host, Will Liu. You've been listening to The Raptors Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to The Raptors Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm your host, Wim Liu. I continue to be joined by my producer and co-host, Alex Wong. We're going to talk about the Miami Heat and also Kyle Lowry. I guess he's not going to play tonight, but we're going to talk about Kyle and how he's doing in Miami. But first, we have on the line joining us Sidra from Raptors Twitter. And Sidra, we wanted to bring you on because you're doing something really amazing for the community. You're raising funds to support the Siba Food Bank, who are looking for donations specifically for N95 masks. And you are doing a great fundraiser. So Sidra, first off, tell us about the Siba Food Bank and sort of what their needs are at this current moment.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on. We are holding the Peel Region N95 mass fundraiser, as Will mentioned, for Siba Food Bank. So they have locations in both Mississauga and Brampton. So we worked with Sevup Food Bank in our December 2020 food bank fundraiser. I reached out to them a few weeks ago, and they said they have enough food and supplies to last them until spring. But their clients have been requesting N95s a lot. So this is what we're doing. We're holding a fundraiser for them to hopefully get masks to the Mississauga and Brampton locations. So as of right now, we've been raising money since January 14th and will continue until this Friday, January 21st. So currently we've raised over $9,200, which is amazing. Wow. I did not expect this number, but so, so incredibly thankful for Raptors Twitter. They did all of this.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about the Raptors Twitter community. Obviously, you know, we see some, like, arguments and stuff on the timeline, some petty stuff on the timeline. But really, like, when it comes to the important stuff and sort of banding together, I think this is another example of just, like, what the community is capable of. Because, yeah, as you mentioned, you know, you did this as well, you know, last year or maybe 2 years ago, I think. It's hard to tell during the pandemic. But, yeah, I mean, like, you know, this is one of the ways the Raptors Twitter, especially as a community, just in the Raptors fan base, forget Twitter, can come together and help support something.
Yeah, it's absolutely wild. Like last year when we had, in December 2020, when we had the food bank fundraiser, we raised over $10,700 for five food banks. And this time it's been, 4 days and we've raised over $9,000. So this community, like, they want to help and they are good people. Like, yes, we get into fights all the time, but at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, helping your community is what everybody wants to do, and they've shown an incredible amount of support, so I literally cannot thank them enough for what they did.
Absolutely. So okay, so tell people, how can they join in and try to support your cause?
Yeah, so I'm going to be as so what you can do is you can e-transfer me or PayPal me at sidhar.alam3217@gmail.com. If you feel more comfortable donating directly to Sevup Food Bank, you can do that at sevafoodbank.com as well. But if you're unable to donate, that's totally okay too. So much of how we got the $9,000 is by promoting the thread that I've posted on my Twitter and my Instagram. So if you can't donate, you can retweet, and that's just as important just to get the word out to people. But yeah, anybody who feels comfortable can e-transfer me or PayPal me. Or you can donate to Sevup Food Bank directly. But if you have any questions, please message me. I want to be as transparent as possible with receipts and with all communications that I have with suppliers and showing you photos of when I do the drop-off. So if you have questions and you feel uncomfortable donating, message me. And I want to make sure that you're comfortable knowing that I'm going to make sure that your money goes to exactly where you think it's going.
Absolutely. And, you know, you just even speaking for myself, like, this is the second time I've seen you do this and the second time I've, you know, chipped in and contributed as well. And, like, you know, what you do for the community is absolutely amazing. And lastly, before we get back to the Raptors stuff, before we let you go, you know, obviously the Raptors are going to be playing the Heat. Not Kyle specifically. I guess he's out today. But did you have a favorite Kyle Lowry moment that really stands out to you that you want to end up on?
Favorite Kyle Lowry moment? I would have to say, honestly, the last thing that he wrote was that beautiful letter to the Toronto fans. So that, if I could get imprinted on my heart, I'd do it. So it might be off the court, but I'll take that any day. Like, he's a Toronto Raptor for life in my eyes, and that forever will be imprinted with me forever. So Kyle, we'll miss you today, but I'll see you. We'll see you eventually.
Yeah, we definitely will. All right, Sidhar, thank you so much for what you're doing and for joining us on the program.
Thank you so much for donating and your incredibly kind donations as well in promoting the fundraiser. This honestly cannot happen without you guys as well, so thank you so much.
Oh, no worries, of course. Definitely happy to help.
Bye, thank you.
Bye. All right, Alex, do you got a favorite Kyle Lowry moment?
Oh, I have a lot, man. I only get to pick one.
Yeah, you just got to pick one. And don't say, like, oh, you know, Eastern Conference Finals, they chanted his name, or when they lifted the trophy.
That was exactly the one I was going to say.
No. Give me a deep cut. Give me a super – come on, you're a Raptors expert. Give me a deep cut.
A deep cut? You know, the only deep cut I have is him crawling between George Hill's legs. To this day, I still don't know what was going through his head. What was he trying to do? Draw a foul by crawling between a guy?
Yes, that's exactly what he's trying to do. He said,
I just don't get it.
You know, in Lord of the Rings, when Frodo went undercover and he said, "I'm Mr. Underhill." That's what he said to George Hill. That's what Kyle Lowry said. I'm Mr.
Okay, you
Underhill.
Know what? Okay, favorite. Okay, so, in all honesty, if you're putting me on the spot to give you a favorite Kyle Lowry moment, I would say over the course of the huge moments during the championship run and during his tenure here, he was always cognizant of grabbing the game ball for other people. Like that was right. My favorite yeah. thing about him. I believe he did this in Tampa too. I forgot who he did this for, but he did that after Kawhi hit a shot in game 7, yep. right? Like he had the mind to go and get the ball while the entire arena was just going crazy. So I think that's the one thing that I always remember about Kyle is just this like selflessness about him. And even yeah. the 30-point comeback, you remember, like, come on. That does not happen without Kyle. Like, with all due respect to the other guys that were on the court, Rondé, Chris Boucher, my guy Malcolm Miller was in there for a little bit in the fourth quarter.
Your guy.
And after the game, all Kyle wanted to do was defer the attention to the other guys. And even towards the end of his tenure, he would always do press conferences and talk about how happy he was that he helped Fred, Pascal, OG, all these guys improve and get paid. So there was just always this selflessness to Kyle. But having said all that, my favorite moment is still him crawling between George Hill's legs.
Yeah, fair enough. I was going to say, I mean, obviously there's so many Kyle moments that stand out. I think, you know, as you mentioned, just him celebrating other people was so cool to me, man. Yeah, as you mentioned, him grabbing the game ball. He grabbed the game ball, for example, for Nick Nurse's first NBA head coaching win, right, which was 2018 home opener against Cleveland, the game where Tristan Thompson said before the game that the East still runs through Cleveland, and then Ty Lue said right afterwards that it's a wins and lessons season.
He said it was wins and lessons, and then they started 0-8, and then the Cavs said, no, we actually need wins, so you're fired.
Yeah. That was a tough one. That was a very tough one for Cleveland at
Shouts
that time.
To Ty Lue, though, man. He's one of the best coaches in the league.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, he is.
Wow.
Tactically, I really like the way he manages his team. I just don't like the Clippers overall. I'm sorry. And also, Kyle grabbed the game ball for Fred when he broke the franchise record, which was like one of the only positive things that happened last season in Tampa. But Fred, as you remember, broke the franchise record for scoring in the game against Orlando with 53. I think he had 54. Maybe 53 or 54.
I want to say 54. Yeah.
So Kyle grabbed the ball for him, and you know, everyone sprayed, you know, the team, or everyone sprayed Fred as he came into the locker room and stuff. So that's the way Kyle was. He just was a really selfless kind of guy. And honestly, man, something that doesn't get talked about enough is just like the leadership that Kyle in particular showed when they're in the bubble during that very difficult time. You know, they're both in terms of just the fact that the pandemic was raging and everyone was really confused about what was happening there. And then the Black Lives Matter protests were also ongoing throughout, you know, North America and the world. And the way Kyle showed leadership in that situation, the way that, you know, obviously I think Fred was very involved, Norm was very involved, Pascal, I'm sure all the guys were very involved, but the way Kyle stepped up as a leader there, you know, both off the court. And then I even on the court, man, games 3 and 4 for Kyle Lowry to even the series. And then game 6,
Game six was a masterpiece, man. That was a masterpiece. But I mean, yeah, like you mentioned, that pass to OG at the end of game 3 to save the season.
Yeah,
that too. Game 4, the game 6. Man, that series is always going to bother me, man. That whole season's always going to bother me, the way it played out with the pandemic suspending the season and everything. But you know
what? That was still the last time Kyle was in Toronto. The last time Kyle was in Toronto was literally crawling through George Hill's legs. Well, actually, that's not true. They played a game against Charlotte. But
yeah, then
let's just pretend
Charlotte,
that the George Hill game was the last one.
No, that was the last one I was at. So I do want to go back to Sidra's fundraiser real quick to say that, you know, it's great what she's doing. And I know both of us and a lot of other people in the Raptors community have donated. I just want to say to the listeners, like, go donate. You know, if you appreciate what we do, if you appreciate kind of the entertainment and, you know, the info that you get from Will's Twitter and my Twitter and all of that stuff. Like, forget about the 5-star reviews. Well, only for this week. Forget about that extra copy of Cover Story that you were going to buy this week. You know, take that money and donate to this cause. I think it's a really good cause. I just wanted to say that.
Absolutely.
And I know a lot of our listeners are upper middle class Asian. So I know you have money. So if you could recognize...
single Asian?
If you could recognize, you know it works when you guilt trip other Asians. If you could recognize Gary's cardigan as a Gucci cardigan, you can afford to donate a little
you
more
know what?
To the
Absolutely.
Food bank.
Absolutely.
Is all I'm saying. That was my thought process yesterday when I donated to this. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, fair enough.
So.
All right. Speaking of Kyle, though. So one question you wanted to ask was just how Kyle's doing in Miami overall. Because if you look at the team, Miami, like Jimmy Butler's played like about, I would say half the season, slightly over half the season. He's only played like 20-some odd games.
I feel like they've had a Toronto situation where they've had a lot of guys move in and out of the lineup.
Yeah, and yet they're still one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. They're winning with guys that most people haven't heard of. Alex, like for example, are you familiar with the work that Omer Yurtseven has been doing?
No, I'm not. But I've actually been making a lot of Yurtseven jokes with James Herbert via text lately because I'm obsessed with his last name because it's such a great last name. Yeah, I call his locker room stall the Yurt Locker, but we can move on. Yeah.
Oh wow, that's pretty good. No, I mean, a couple of games recently from him.
I am not familiar with Omer Yurtseven's resume.
Yeah, let me just give it to you. So, in Philly, you know, this game in a loss, but he was gone against Joel Embiid, 10 of 12 shooting for 22 points. Okay. He had 22 against Sacramento as well. I mean, like, it's actually incredible. Like, he scored double digits in all but two of the last 10 games. Like, these are the kind of guys that Miami's sort of throwing out there, the Kyle Guys of the world. Max Strus's of the world, Caleb Martin, and it's all working in part because of the fact that Kyle is just like this gravitational piece who's able to make almost anybody, any group of players come together and work well. And I think in terms of when you look at Kyle's numbers specifically, they're actually quite low. Like if you thought about a max player making, 30+ million coming in and averaging 13 points for you, 8 assists is really nice, but shooting 41% from the field, only 33% from the three-point arc, you might say, well, this is not max-level production. But actually, Kyle's role this year, especially his numbers, looks so similar to me as compared to his championship season with the Raptors, where, as you remember, his scoring was down, so much so that he scored 0 points at the start of the Magic series, right? Come which on, I man. Think I lost my mind. I think.
How did we not bring that up during our favorite Kyle moments?
Yeah, that was devastating for like 2 days, and then the Raptors won the championship, so it's all good. But like, you know, Kyle's numbers, he scored a lot less, but he was so focused on the passing. That was the year he averaged a career high in assists, 8.7. Right now he's at 8.3 with a lot of his main guys like Bam and Jimmy out. And so that's kind of the role that he settled into. And I think the main thing that he does for the team is just like be a traditional point guard, set the pace, obviously hit the threes, but yeah, just make everyone around him better, make all the hustle plays, you know, like all the strips under the basket, taking the charges. I think Miami has like twice as many charges taken as any other franchise in the league right now. Not all of that is Kyle, but obviously a lot of that is Kyle. They also have a couple other guys who are pretty good at taking charges. Caleb Martin, for example. But I mean, Kyle, what he's doing for that team right now, it really reminds me of that championship team. And I don't think anyone on that team is as good as Kawhi. Like I saw Jimmy Butler at his peak, going up against Kawhi at his peak, and Kawhi just easily outplayed him, especially in game 7. One of the understated things in that series was Kawhi was like, let me guard Jimmy Butler. Forget Pascal and Jimmy Butler. Forget Danny Green and Jimmy Butler. Let me guard Jimmy Butler. So in addition to the fact that he scored like 37 points and hit the game winner, he was also guarding Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy had a pretty poor shooting night. But like overall though, the construct of what Miami's doing with Jimmy as the guy who is kind of in the Kawhi role, Bam kind of in the Pascal role, Kyle obviously doing Kyle stuff, and then all these shooters coming off the bench, you know, maybe comparisons to like, you know, Tyler is kind of in that Fred role. If you want to stretch it a little bit, like it's pretty amazing what Kyle's been doing with that club. So it just reminds me of what Serge told you when you interviewed Serge for one of our other interviews of the century, which is just that like it's Kyle Lowry. Like obviously he's doing well. What do you expect, you know? And he's doing great. So it would have been great to see him today, but also, at the same time, he's also one of their best players. So I'm not that upset overall that he's not playing.
Yeah, hopefully everything is good for him on the personal front. And it'll definitely be an easier game. And I think what shouldn't be forgotten, too, is what Kyle is doing at his age, right? Like, I remember towards the end of his tenure here in Toronto, we would always bring up comparisons to other point guards and wonder how Kyle was going to age into his mid to late 30s. Mm-hmm. And we can see right now, he can still be the point guard of a championship contending team. With all due respect to what DeMar and the Bulls are doing, you know, to me, Miami is a really dangerous team that I think Milwaukee and Brooklyn have to think about. And I think if those are the four teams, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Miami, Chicago, in the top four seed, I think it's just going to come down to the matchups and the seeding. And I can easily see Miami being in the conference finals if they're fully healthy with a chance to make it to the finals with Kyle.
Yeah. And along those lines, I'm happy you asked, because out of the top four teams in the East, so I think we're pretty confident the Raptors are going to make the top four in the Eastern Conference, right? I think there's just a clear delineation between what Chicago is doing this year, Brooklyn, obviously, Miami, and Milwaukee. I think that's the class of the East. Maybe Philly, if Ben Simmons' situation gets resolved, which it doesn't seem like it will, can join them. But at the moment, he's not there. And then Cleveland, with their injuries, is kind of, you know, not quite there for me either. So out of those four teams, Chicago, Brooklyn, Miami, and Milwaukee, which of them do you think wants to see the Raptors the least, and which one do you think wants to see the Raptors the most? Because there's a very good chance the Raptors match up with one of these four clubs.
Well, I guess the easy answer is Milwaukee, right? I don't know if I'm picking the Raptors to beat the Bucks, both teams fully healthy, in a seven-game series, but I'm pretty confident saying that that's going to be a tougher series than most people expect, just because of just the Raptors' track record against Milwaukee. And we've seen it in the regular season. We've seen it in the playoffs. We've seen it across different rosters now, even though, like you mentioned, the 2019 roster has almost completely turned over. So I would say Milwaukee. I don't want to watch seven games or however many games it is of Miami-Toronto. Like, please. Like if that's the matchup on the final night of the season, please do some tanking or something. Like, Chicago-Toronto would be really fun. You know, Brooklyn, I don't like Brooklyn's vibes at all. And I guess the joke is that Kyrie would be not able to play any games in a Brooklyn
series. No, that's not
series.
A joke. He can't play in New York and he can't play in Canada.
I know,
but so Kyrie's out for that series.
My guess is if that's the case, he'll get vaccinated. But that's just my guess. And obviously, we don't know what's going on in Kyrie's head. But I think Brooklyn would take care of Toronto. So if you're asking me which teams I would want to see in that first round, I would pick Milwaukee and Chicago.
Yeah, I agree with you. Those are the top two for me. I definitely don't want to see Miami. I just think that they're really well equipped to guard the Raptors.
Yeah, overall. Plus, you know, Goran's going to be a consultant on that team.
Goran's literally going to be playing both sides. He's going to warm up with the Raptors, go to the coaches meeting, make sure, you know, he's the warm up huddle and everything.
He's going to have a reversible jersey like Gary has a reversible cardigan.
Oh, God, honestly, this Goran storyline, like, he doesn't even matter like this, but it's just
so funny.
He better
show up tonight. I want him to show up tonight courtside wearing a Goran Dragic Miami Heat jersey, man.
He might play. Cool, like, Kyle's not playing. Like, you know.
You know, the funniest thing is the last time Goran ever played for the Raptors was when Nick put him into the starting lineup against the Pistons. Remember?
And they lost. Yeah.
After he didn't play for like 3 weeks. And I remember Goran post game being like, yeah, man, I was kind of surprised and I was really tired. And that was it. That's the end of his Raptors career.
Oh, him saying, yeah, I was kind of tired after playing one game is so sick to me, man. Why did he start two games? By the way, you know, people are going to forget this, but when we look back on this season, one of the biggest oddities is that Goran Dragic started the first game, the home opener, where the Raptors lost. Right. He started the home opener. Why? He wasn't in the plans. He definitely was not in the plans. So.
No, man.
I can't wait for him to get moved. I just can't wait. I can't wait.
Yo, he already moved, man. He needs to get technically moved. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, I think that's it. So we got Blake Murphy tomorrow, Joseph Cacciaro, mm-hmm. Vivek Jacob on Wednesday. So, Will, have a great week. I'll talk to you Thursday.
No, I'll be listening to you in particular tomorrow. Why don't you tell us about that before I wrap the show?
Yeah, I'll be on Sportsnet today, tomorrow, on Tuesday, 7 to 10 with my guy, Shoali. So if you want to hear me talk about NBA, NFL, and maybe even the Toronto Maple Leafs, tune in. You're about to see a different Alex.
I can't wait. So that does it for us today. I'm your host, Will Liu, and you've been listening to The Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Make sure you find The Raptor Show wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe. And please rate and review our show. Thanks once again to my producer and co-host, Alex Wong, to our guest, Sidra, to our board producer, Derek Brandeo. Welcome back. And we will talk to you tomorrow.